Hello and welcome along to another tipping edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. It is Friday, and as a celebration of the advent of the weekend, I'm joined by two of the greatest minds in the game, Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey, who are here to give you a few tips for the weekend and hopefully find a winner or two. Gentlemen, how are things? A very, very good Friday morning to you.
Thanks, Tom. We're not exactly going to make technicians in our future careers, are we? Just for listeners, we spent the last 15 minutes trying to get a set of headphones working for Frank, and can safely say that between the three of us working remotely, there is not a computer whiz between us.
No.
We'll say, if people are going to criticize my compiling and horse racing knowledge, it is vastly superior than my technical ability.
It wasn't the best show in the world. There was plugging in and plugging out and turning it on and turning it off again. But anyway, we're here.
Splitters and jacks and you name it, we had them all, but we can get none of it to work. So it's c'est la vie.
Nothing. But anyway, onwards we go, and we can hopefully just listen to Frank on sub-quality sound. But anyway, here we go. We've got lots to look forward to the weekend. Ascot Taunton and Haydock underwater, potentially. But the racing goes ahead there. But we're going to have a look at all those races on ITV as well as some of the action in Ireland. And without further ado, racing gets underway on ITV at Ascot at 1:15 with the Matchbook betting podcast Mare's Hurdle, but obviously not quite as good as our podcast. Roxana is the 4-6 favorite. Magic of Light is 5-2, 9-2, Eglantine de Soy 28-1, Coded Message. And Midnight Tune is 33-1. Frank, take it away.
Yeah, look, Roxana was odds against earlier in the week. And realistically, I wouldn't normally say this, but 4-6, she's the biggest 4-5 out there. That's probably not bad value in the context of this race. Look, she's up against Magic of Light, who's obviously working back from the Grand National. She's won this race the last 2 years, but I don't think she's ever met in those two races anyway. She never met anything of the quality of Roxana. Roxana bolted up in season reappearance in the Yorkshire Hurdle at Weatherby, beating Next Destination, has won two grade twos over fences since. She's only beat two lengths in the Long Walk hurdle at Ascot behind Paisley Park at Tyne Hill. She'd be well worth her place in the Stairs Hurdle at Cheltenham itself. And I just think she's a different level to Magical Light over hurdles. And yeah, she should probably be 1-2, really, I think.
1-2, says Frank Hickey. Ruby?
I don't disagree with Frank. But could I see her winning the World Hurdle or Stairs Hurdle moving on from here? No. I think if she's a better chance maybe of beating Honeysuckle or Concertista in the Mayor's Hurdle and Magical Light. She's just not as good a hurdler as Roxana, but she could end up in the Miss Paddy Power Chase at the festival. So two good mares clashing here that might go different roads in March.
1:50 at Ascot is the Matchbook better way to bet. Holloway's Handicap Hurdle Lightly Squeeze is 4-1 favourite. Danny Kerwin 5-6-1. Arrivederci Janica 7-1 alongside Craig Neche. Cateson is 8-1 with Paddy's Motorbike and its 12s and Bigger the Rest. Ruby, you can kick us off here.
I'm going to go for one each way, Tom. Well down in the betting anyway, 14-1 shot. I'm going to go for Botox High each way. He's a horse I really liked as a juvenile last year. He started the season well when he won at Cheltenham, beating the Pinkin over 2 miles. He was no match for Faressa then in Newbury in Jerry Field, and ran poorly here behind Not So Sleepy in the big handicap hurdle before Christmas. But I just think stepping up to nearly 2.5 miles, 2 miles, 3.5 and a bit, gives him a great chance. I've been a little bit disappointed with Danny Kirwan. Arrivederci most certainly has a chance. Janika was a fair horse at one stage, hasn't ran in almost a year, but I just think Botox Ha going up in trip, I'd be willing to forgive him his last couple of starts.
Frank, before I come to you, could I ask you a quick question? I've noticed, and I just one of those things, every Friday when we do the podcast, you have a massive glass of orange juice. Is that a thing, just a Friday morning thing? Is it a podcast thing, or are you just addicted to orange juice?
I do have a glass of orange juice most mornings. This is actually orange cordial I drink instead of water. So I try to get as much water into me as possible to kind of negate all the other negatives I do to my body with no exercise, eat shite, you know, sleep little, watch a lot of screens. You know what I mean? So that's my one very positive. Good. Try and drink a lot very of water good. In cardial format.
In cardial format. Well, in audio format, tell us your tip for the 150 at Ascot.
I'm a bit disappointed Ruby's for a Bulldogs has, because I'm a massive fan of the horse and I narrowed it down to him and Nordano.
Why are you so disappointed? Because if I tip it, there's no chance or something.
No. I was just going against him and I was like, shit, I really do like him, but I was just siding with Nordano. But I'd be I definitely wouldn't put anyone off back at Botas. We're 14-1, keep it on side. There's as big as 20s out there. The reason I was like Nordano, he did bolt up here over this distance in February off Mark 127, won by 16 lengths. He's disappointed in both starts this season, but the first one was behind Botas had good ground at 2 miles of Cheltenham. Would have been far too sharp for him. He's not quick enough for that. And his stamina was stretched last time over 3 miles of Chester when tail off. Look, he's been very disappointed in the two runs, but he's back to more what suits him, which is like, you know, 2.5 miles, horrible ground. He's running off a mark of 138, 11 pounds higher than that win last year. Like, he had some decent form last year. Like, he was... He won at Chepstow at Huntington, was placed in the finale hurdle, the Grade 1 at Chepstow, was second on this card behind Goshen as well, now albeit well beaten. But just the prices, like, I'd definitely be taking one at a price here. I think Nordano and Botox Hads are well worth taking a flyer on.
3 o'clock, Ascot is the Bet365 handicap chase. Benny's King is the 9-2 favourite. 5-1, Good Boy Bobby. Dashiell Drasher is 6s. 13-2, Cape Land is alongside Espoir de Guy. And 7s and bigger the rest, Ruby.
Look, Espoir de Guy is tongue-tied for the first time, and as a 7-year-old, is the youngest horse in the field, so therefore could be the one horse in here open to most improvement. Good Boy Bobby, definitely going to be on most people's shortlist as well, but I'm going to go for Windsor Avenue, and I'm going back a couple of runs, Tom, but I think if you go back to his Carlisle run behind Imperial Aura, that's rock solid. He was pulled up behind Chatham Street Lad in the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup, was third in Weatherby on St. Stephen's Day behind Canelo in the Roland Merrick. I think that's a solid enough run. Snow Leopard S was second. He was 3.5 lengths back in third. Brian Hughes rides him. Brian Ellison trains him. Windsor Avenue, 7-1-ish at a price for me.
Francis?
Very competitive race. You've got Devane Delisle, won the race last year back on the same mark. Small but interesting. Acting Last won this, I think, 3 years ago. Could definitely see Windsor Avenue. He's definitely going to handicap him at some stage. I just thought it was very difficult to get away from Good Boy Bobby. Likes testing ground. He was 3 out of 4 in bumpers, 3 out of 4 over hurdles. Did only win once in his 4 start over fences last year to novice, but I mean, he wasn't too disappointed in the main. He was beaten ahead by Brew Up the Storm at Carlisle and Chase debut, won at Weatherby, and then was second to Mr. Fisher at Cheltenham, conceding 5 pounds to him. Mr. Fisher's now rated 162. He ended the season with a poor fifth in the Grade 1 City Oils at Sandown. He was only a 72 shot that day. Obviously wasn't right. One on season reappearance at Bangor, was entitled on those terms, though. Was second to Master Tommy Tucker, beating 15 lengths of Haylock. Dashiell Drasher, who reopposes here, was in behind him third. I thought it was a fair run, the Caspian Caviar went fourth. Look, he never really was in the race. He was staying on past beaten horses, but he was running there off 146. He's been dropped 2 pounds to 144. And the Twisted Davis Yard are in much better form now, so I could definitely see him running a good race here.
Lovely stuff. The last race from Ascot on ITV is the 3.35, is the Matchbook Betting Exchange. Clarence House Chase and Politolog tops the betting at 5-4, 5-2, Waiting Patiently. Defi de Soy is 9-2, and 12's the Outsiders, but it should be a good tussle between the top three. Frank, if Defi de Soy can bounce back to somewhere near his best.
Yeah, it's an interesting race, like, because obviously you've got Waiting Patiently coming from the King George, and you just wonder, like, he obviously has very good form at 2 miles as well. He wasn't beaten far in the Tingle Creek last year at Sandown. Politolog, obviously champion chaser, who's won the Tingle Creek this year. You've got First Flow stepping up in grade, who'd relish the ground, and I wouldn't be surprised to run him a big race or to see him run a big race. But I just think at the prices, you could take a chance and definitely decide, but he was really impressive winning this race last year in heavy ground when he beat him so nearly 3 lengths practically on the bridle. And look, he's been very disappointing in the champion chase and has reappeared in the Shore Chase since. But there was an interview with Richard Johnson during the week and he seemed to be quite positive about how he was going at home. And look, I suppose there's always an element of the jockeys are always going to be a bit positive about their own horse. But at his best form, he has the beating of these. And just at the price, I'd take a chance that he'll bounce back.
Ruby?
Yeah, look, Plinilog's been in really good form. There's no doubt about that. Harry Skelton has won the champion chase and the Tingle Creek on him. He won at Tingle Creek in 2017 when ridden by Harry Cobden, so no worries on the rider front. The 2019 Tingle Creek saw Defi Desai having too much pace for waiting patiently. He quickened away from him at the back of the second last and waiting patiently tried to chase him home. Look, there's a dead eight, and I think once the dead eight line up, I think there's an each-way angle here, and I think it could be Fanny and Destreval. I thought he was travelling really well when he fell at the third last in the Peterborough chase. He's only a six-year-old. He's a bit defined on ratings, but will the big three turn up and run the race? That's always questionable, and I think Fanny and Destreval is the each-way bet in the race. I think Politolog is possibly the most likely winner, but I think for an each-way angle, it's Fanny and Destreval.
Lovely stuff. Onwards we go to Taunton at 2:10. It's the Weatherby's Portman Cup Chase. Yala Enki is the 10-11 favourite. If the cap fits, 5-2, 6-1, Rock the Casbah. 10's the Mighty Don. 14's Al Rock. Sizing Cadelco is 20s, and it's 33-1. The outsider looks out like Brian. Frank, kick us off.
Yeah, look, Yala Enki's coming in here off the back of a very good run in the Welsh National when third off top weight. He won the race last year. He's obviously the solid one. I'd just give a chance to If the Cat Fits. Look, his jumping hasn't been great at all over fences. He won a fast last beat filler on the roof by 7.5 lengths, but he didn't jump great at all. It's just a superior engine seemed to win in that the race that day, beaten by Pim in an intermediate chase then in a three-run race again. The run in the Grey One Kale Star Kempton was just very bizarre. He was last, going nowhere, not jumping great again, turning into the straight. He must have been at least, I'd say, 20 lengths off the leaders. And he's ended up only getting beaten 7.5 lengths. He absolutely flew home. I think the step up and trip to 3.5 miles here would probably suit him. If he could jump fluently at all, he has an engine, definitely. Obviously, he was a Grade One winner over hurdles. I wouldn't be surprised if he won this and maybe became a player in the National Hunt Chase, potentially.
Interesting. Ruby?
I'm going for the same horse, Tom, possibly for a different reason. I just think Yal Enki's run was very solid in the Welsh National, but it's 14 days ago, and he went 3.5 miles in Chepstow in the mud. I know he's an 11-year-old, but can he really be as good a horse and as fresh a horse this soon? I'm not certain. If the Cap Fits run was a month ago, 28 days, 4 weeks, I think he could just be the fresher horse and he'd be the one I'd be siding with. Jumping, and even if the sun shines in Taunton, unfortunately there'll be defences in the back straight to go missing, not the ones down the home straight. But jumping is a worry for If the Cap Fits.
Lovely stuff. Over to Haydock we go, and they have had an awful lot of rain in Haydock, and we know what Haydock heavy is, a completely different level. But 1:30 at Haydock is the Skybet Supreme Trial. Rossington Main Novices Hurdle. Landonibo Lad is the 7-4 favourite. 11-4 Manila Drama. Favoir 7-2. Nada to Prada is 4-1, and it's 17-2. Anything for love, Ruby? Would you do anything for love?
No. Lalando boy, his form went second to my Drago at Ascot is probably the strongest on offer here. Do I really think there is a supreme novices hurdle horse in here? I don't think there is. Lalando boy is possibly the most obvious horse in the race to win here tomorrow afternoon.
Lalando boy is an interesting pronunciation. Frank, how would you pronounce it? Would you go lad or boy?
Clandinabo lad.
All right, very good.
Clandinabo.
Well, it's two Clandinabo.
Is that what that means, is it?
It's Welsh, isn't it? Two L's together must surely be Welsh, isn't it? Like yeah, Clanetley, isn't it?
Does two L's make a C, is what I mean.
The two wrongs make a right. Nobody knows. Frank, what do you fancy?
Well, he's definitely lad, not boy. That was the one wrong we do know.
Well, I definitely think that anyone with a bit of Welsh could clear up that pronunciation for us. I'm pretty sure it's Clanetley. But like I say, how do you say it? It's not Clanetley, is it? It's Clanetley.
We're taking your advice here, Frank.
I'll give away.
If that becomes Clanetley, two L's make a C.
Yeah, so I wonder what pronunciations are we going to advise people on next week? We do make a little slob of me, but I'm going to stick with Kalinowo lad here as well. I think he's actually a bit of value at 7-4. He's beaten in a drama at Bangor already very easily. He does carry a penalty here, but he carries a penalty because he won a listed race relatively easily here. He was very strong at the finish. He was second in a grade two at Ascot last time behind My Drogo. I think My Drogo was a very good horse, particularly in soft ground. And just, I think he's might just be a different level to these. Little Drama is nice and is improving horse, but he's got a bit defiance, where he said, now that the Prada was only rated about 118 before winning a listed mares, and I was heard here the last day. Favoir, I think, needs to step up, and Anything for Love. You could put a line through her hurdles debut when the jockey lost his stirrups very early in the race. But Clinable lad, I think he's a different level to these, and the ground would be no issue for him.
We'll make it easy, Tom, will we? We'll make it really easy. Number one in the green colours, trained by Tom Simmons, ridden by Nico de Bonneville. That's the one we all fancy.
Yeah, Clandonavo lad, the seal of approval from the horse's mouth panel. Righto 240 at Haydock is the Peter Marsh, and Royal Pagal is the 9-4 favourite. 7-2 Sam Brown, Sam's Adventures 5-1, 7-1 AC Milan, Lemonaver Pippin is 8-1, and so is Potter's Legend 12-1, and bigger the rest. Frank.
Royal Pagale was very impressive at Kempton, winning off a mark of 140 practically on the bridle. Gone up to a mark of 156. It was soft ground at Kempton, but it's a different story going to, testing ground at Haydock. He has won here on soft ground before. I just think it's a very tough mark for him to winning off. If he wins this, he's a big player in the RSA because he's going to go up to a rating of probably 161 or 2, which would have him right there in the RSA. But I'm going to stick with Sam Brown. Obviously, I was banging the drum for him for the Ladbrokes Trophy, and I backed him anti-post, but unfortunately, the ground came up decent, which never does at Newbury at that time of year, really. And he skipped the race. He's been held back for this. He wears a tongue tie for the first time. He won here last year over 2.5 miles on testing ground. Bolted up over 3 miles at Linkfield as well on bad ground. Did disappoint at the Reynoldstown. There was plenty to like about his reappearance run at Carlisle behind Imperial Aura, when conceding £2 to him. Was beaten, I think, about 3 lengths in third. 2.5 miles around there would be too sharp for him. Stepping up and trip here is really going to suit. He loved the conditions. I think he's got a right chance of turning over the favourite.
Ruby, we don't see Richie Cullors too often with trainers in the UK, but it seems Venetia Williams has a good one for Rich and Susanna.
Yeah, it definitely looks that way. And, Frank is saying, could he be a horse for the Festival Novice Chase, which used to be the All-RSA? Will he take on Monkfish? Or could he end up in the National Hunt Chase if he goes and wins here? Stamina is definitely going to be a forte here. I do fancy him. I thought he's definitely the one horse in the race that looks to be improving. And I'm going to go to the very other end of the scale for a horse each way that will do exactly what will be required here. And that's Potter's Legend. This will be slow and attritional, and he will just keep pottering away. So Potter's Legend each way, but Royal Pagali is the one I fancy.
Lovely stuff. 3:15 at Haydock is the new one, Unibet Hurdle, and it is, of course, the return of Boover there, and he's 4-7. Ballyandy 9-4, 8-1 Navajo Pass. Ruby, obviously, if he's anywhere close to fit, he wins and wins well. But it's some injury to come back from.
It is, and that one I'm overly familiar with, but he wouldn't be back unless it was 100%. So we're going to take that as a given. Take that he's fitting well. Dan de Campagna made a winning comeback. All right, not off a layoff, but a seasonal debut in air early in the week. Ballyandy and Navajo Pass have a fitness edge. I imagine both Sam Twiston Davis and Sean Quinlan will be trying to play that card. But in doing so, they're just going to let Bouvard Air slot right behind him. And I could see Nico de Bonneville producing Bouvard Air at the 100-yard marker to pass out whichever one is left in front. I really fancy him. I just think he'll have too much gears for these.
Frank?
Yeah, I think if you're coming back from the layoff he's had and you're looking for, a test without it being, really bottoming him out or anything, this is what they look for. Navajo passed one at Musper the last day. was only a handicap. He was only winning off a mark of 142. He ran okay in the Triumph last year when fourth, but like he's not really in the league of Bouverdaire. Ballyandy has to concede £6 to Bouverdaire as well. And, you know, if Bouverdaire's anywhere near his best, he'll win this easily enough. Yeah. Be just interested to see, you know, if the sparkle is there, because, you know, he's probably ages against him winning a champion hurdle, but it would be interesting if, you know, he came back at the peak of his powers where he'd slot in this year and this year's market. Like,
lovely stuff. That is Saturday's ITV racing done and dusted. There's a good race in Haydock before the ITV cameras start rolling, and some decent stuff in Navan as well, featuring a good handicap hurdle. Lads, anything elsewhere standing out to you at the moment on Saturday?
That decent handicap hurdle at Navan. And just as I have suggested, I was going to talk about that race. I clicked into the wrong race in Navan. So I'm going to go reverse back quickly. The Navan handicap hurdle is at 157, not at 232, which was the race I opened. I did think Jukebox Jive bolted in here over 2.5, 2 runs back. I was disappointed on his last start. But I was interested that Johnny Moore has gone for Wolf Prince over Jukebox Jive, both being trained by Gavin Cromwell. His horses have seemed to be flying. Was second to Grand Roy in Limerick at Christmas. Had been second to Call Me Lyrene and Nace before that, both over 2 miles. I thought Wolf Prince stepping up to 2.5 just caught my eye.
Frank, anything for you?
Yeah, I actually had one in that race as well. Damal Iskik. Oh, you could do the pronunciation, Tom. It's French. I'm very poor at French. I had to give it up after first year. Stuck with the old Spanish and German instead. But this horse, a listed hurdle winner in France in 2017, switched to Eddie Harty, was tried in Grade 2 company and stable debut at Fairy House. Wasn't good enough for that. Had 2 years off the track, reappeared in the Amateur Riders Derby to Kerr in October. Was second behind Mount Leinster. But nice horses like the names Jock and Run for Oscar behind. Was 5-2 for a valuable handicap hurdle at Nace's next start as handicap debut off a mark of 118. Was beaten half a length by Barna Viduin. That potentially was a useful race. The 4th Morosini was a big eye catcher in the Pretence qualifier at Leopardstown. The 8th Dandy Mag actually won that Pretence qualifier. And the 6th Ishka Solis won by 12 lengths to her next start. The Eddie Harty trained horse, who I'm not going to try and pronounce again, has got £5 for that, but he's very unexposed for an 8-year-old. I thought he'd have relatively solid each way claims. Alaska off the 1240 2-mile juvenile hurdle. This race could be a bit of a pointer to a nice juvenile. Won last year by Goshen. It's also been won by the likes of Top Notch, Ball of Success, and Grandway. You've got some nice horse like Punctuation, who's rated 83 in his first start for Charlie Longston. Stepney Causeway, rated 85 in the flat, have his first start for Dan Skelton. I'm going to side with Tritonic, who was second in the Golden Gate handicap, Royal Ascot for Mark of 95. Finished the season with a 4th in a strong 3-year-old handicap at Newmarket. Finished the season rated 99. Like, he also had a 2nd behind Subjectivist and listed race in Hamilton. Of course, Subjectivist won the Grade 1 pre-Royal Oak at Longshot at the end of the season. Tritonic has been gelded since his last flat start. His boy, See the Moon, who's going to, who's probably love testing ground, he should stay. He could be a high class juvenile. Do you find that very entertaining?
No, okay, keep going. Sorry, apologies. No, go on.
Then the 225 3-mile handicap chase in Cardiff for Dr. Richard Newland had 3 runs for him in a month since switching over from France. Beating a neck here on soft ground, 3-mile handicap hurdle off 115. Won a novice hurdle over 2.6 up in Newcastle very easily. The 2nd and 3rd at Bold Rate 117. So it was a fair effort. Ran the Tommy Whittle last time off 124. Was travelling well within himself when unseating 5 out. He's only 7, clearly progressive. Has course form and testing ground. I thought he had a fair each way chance. And over Taunton, the bumper 430, Dash on Ruby, full sister to Dashel Drasher, who's rated 152 over fences. She made her debut in what looked a decent war at bumper. The winner looks very useful. The 2nd one is next start at Newbury. She travelled very nicely out the back of the field, stayed on well to finish 5th, without getting too hard at the time of things. She was the only mare in the field that day. I think she's a nice horse. And just finally, Haydock, 1255. All eyes will be on Allard after his impressive chase debut. If you watched the last 3 or 4 furlongs of the race, you would have went 12. But if you watched the first half of the race, he whacked a couple of fences. And I would be convinced you could get away with that sort of jumping at Haydock on testing ground. It might take take it out of him. And I'm going to take him on with Maron for Nicky Richards. This horse is 4 from 5, winning a bumper and 2 starts over hurdles. 2 starts over hurdles were over 2.5 miles. The only defeat was in drop back to 2 miles for his chase debut at Ayr. Didn't have the pace for that. Stepped back up to 2.5 miles last time at Ayr. He won really nicely from Port of Mars. Port of Mars went to Hereford and beat Milanford and the Mulcair very easy in his next start. He relished his testing ground. He might put it up to Allert.
What a man. What a man. We laugh, but really, you're the only one talking sense.
Did you go to bed last night?
Yeah. I was working till about 11 and I went to bed then.
What a man. What a pro. Righto, that was Saturday. Time for Sunday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Righto, down to Thurles we go. Good racing in Thurles on Sunday. And we're going to take a look at a couple of graded races there. The 130 is the Coolmore National Hunt Sires Kew Gardens Mares Novices Chase. And Col Reavy is in there. Paul Townend rides Mount Ida, Alora Yates, Rapid Response, Scarlet Dove, Shanna Vaughan, Lady Sláinte, and Thanks Wait and See, Western Victory, and Yukon Lil are the ones declared. Frank?
Really like Col Reavy. I think she's a big player in the Mares, the Mrs. Paddy Power Mayor's Chase at Cheltenham. I think she really showed a good attitude to win the Grade 1 at Limerick at Christmas. She has a £7 penalty for that. But I just think she's a better horse than all of these, even with the penalty. Like she was, she won the Grade 1 bumper punch town as well. So she's a top class mare. I think she'd be able to win this.
Ruby obviously still a novice, so has chasing options at the festival if she wants to go elsewhere. But would you see the Mayor's Chase as the most likely route?
It is a down run novice chase in Limerick the Sunday before Cheltenham as well, Tom, which she qualifies for over 2 miles and 6 graded novice chase worth a pretty penny. So there's also that option for her too, depending on which way they decide to go with her. But I think it was a danger to her on Sunday. It's probably her stable companion, Yukon Lil, who won well at Cork on her debut when she beat Scarlet and Dove. Didn't get home in Navan over 2.5 miles behind Field Dudari, but we saw him chasing in by Allen home last weekend. And Navan and Thurles are chalk and cheese, I think, ridden with a bit more restraint. And for speed, I think Yukon Lil could be the only one in this field to trouble Col Reavy.
2 o'clock, Thurles is the horse and jockey hotel chase. Is a Grade 2 battle over Doyen, Easy Game, Alaho, Animix, Balco de Flo, Ellie May, and Turn Down the Volume make up the field of 7. Ruby, what did you think?
I fancy Alaho. I think, watching back his RSA run last year, he was just always doing too much, always wanting to go stride faster, and they were going a pretty strong gallop as it was for 3 miles and 1. I think dropping down to 2.5 will really suit him. Look, we couldn't see the John Durkin. He finished behind Battle Over Dion. But in the fog, look, it was only taking reports on face value from people. But he was very good in the North Battle Over Dion and he beat Easy Game and Sam Crow. Ellie May is the interesting one here for the Miss Paddy Power Chase even. She'll be heading that road. Gets the mayor's allowance in this race. Won here last year when she beat Cut the Mustard. But Alaho is the one I like.
Francis?
Yeah, I'd get Ruby Alaho. I think you'd be hoping to see him reverted to more positive tactics. And I think if he's ridden from the front here, he should be difficult to peg back. Like, it's hard to get away from his run in the RSA last year. Like, I didn't think he'd see it out as well as he did. He was only beaten 2 lengths in the end. He jumped and travelled really nicely. And it's only in the running he's kind of given away. And if he kind of come back to that form at all, he'd have a massive chance in this and in the Ryanair.
Lovely stuff. Anything else standing out at Thurles or elsewhere?
Yeah, the 3 o'clock is the WT O'Grady Memorial Novice Hurdle for 5-year-olds. It was won last year, of course, by Monkfish, Fighter Allen, Heather Rocco, Tory Graff. But the real interesting one is Gentleman's Game of Mouse Morris's. He absolutely bolted in Cork on his first start. Steps markedly up in trip now from 2 miles on that occasion to 2 miles and 7 on Sunday. But he had to be taken by his performance in Cork, ridden that day by Rachel Blackmore. Obviously Robbie Powers back in Ireland now, so he takes over in the Rob Cork colours. Fighter Allen was bitterly disappointing in Navan, I don't know what the excuse was for him, but he ran too bad to be true. And I think he's a good yardstick. So for a horse that said or looked really impressive visually, gentleman's game, I think we learn a bit more about him on Sunday against Fighter Allen.
He was very quick in there, Frank, wasn't he? He was very quick in there talking about gentleman's game. He's almost like he had spoken about him at length with you at some other stage.
Look, obviously, I was rattling on about this.
Funnily enough, here now, the two of you, I'd say you had that discussion with Paddy.
You were definitely involved as well.
We did the road to Cheltenham during the week. I was saying that I thought he was a very interesting horse and wondered would he go the Ballymore route, but stepping straight up to 3 miles, they're obviously looking at the Albert Bartlett, and I know I was quite keen on Fakira for the Albert Bartlett, but this gentleman's game, I wouldn't be surprised if he's challenging Statler for favouritism in the Albert Bartlett come Sunday evening. He's an intriguing runner, and I think he's got loads of ability. I think if he wins this, I'll be ready to back him for the Albert Bartlett because he becomes a massive player.
Lovely stuff. Time for so best
therefore,
bets.
Frank, hang on a second, Tom. We'll reverse there now a second. Would you not be better off backing gentleman's game, non-runner money back now? Because if he doesn't win, he's unlikely to run in the Albert Bartlett.
Oh, 100%, that's the way to go. I suppose I was just thinking from my own point of view, because we're the only firm non-runner money back and I can't get out anywhere that is non-runner money back. But if you want to have a bet non-runner money back, if he wins, he'll be considerably shorter than 20-1. He'll be 10 or 20s or 10 or 12s. That's definitely the way to go. Back him.
I was thinking this podcast was for the benefit of our listeners, but now we have it. Pure and simple. It's all about Frank.
It was just wasn't thinking.
Very good. Ruby's really enjoyed that one. He's really, really enjoyed that. He was rattled. He was rattled when he got called out for the pronunciation, and he can't walk away without getting one dig back. So it was either going to be me or you. Frank.
You never have to get in front. Just get even.
Righto, time for best bets of the weekend. Frank, what is the one winner for the weekend for everyone to keep an eye out for?
The one winner for the weekend is I would say Gentleman's Game on Sunday in Thurles.
Gentleman's Game Sunday in Thurles, Ruby.
I think Alahole win as well, Sunday in Thurles. That's a long time to wait for our best bets, but I think he'll win. And if I were pushing me for a best bet tomorrow afternoon, I just think Roxanne is way too good or be too good a hurdler for Magical Light.
Lovely stuff.
I'll give one for Saturday then as well, Tom, just so people don't have to wait all weekend. I'll go the 2:25 at Ascot in Cardiff for Dr. Richard Newland. I think that'll be around the 8 or 10 to 1 mark. That's a fairy to win it.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Frank. You're nothing but a gentleman. Righto, that's all we've got time for on today's show. My thanks to Frank and Ruby. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Make sure to check out all the latest odds and offers on paddypower.com. And of course, make sure you're subscribed to the show. We're back on Monday with an excellent discussion between Paddy, Ruby and the great Nigel Owens. And we'll be back on Wednesday with our second installment of the Cheltenham Countdown, where we'll be looking ahead to the novice chases at the festival. But between now and then, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth.